program contains the ramblings of those driven mad by their own geekitude. Listener discretion is advised.
Loading Geek 1. Loading Geek 2. Synchronizing Geeks.
To 3x2 version 2.0, the show that still takes three topics and throws them at two geeks. I'm Lies D, the pseudo Kiwi, coming to you from 3x2 Studios, Virginia.
Ooh, a change, and I'm excited because I am the illustrious Patrick M, coming to you from 3x2 Studios, Ohio, because we haven't changed our name. On the plus side, we are changing couches so that I no longer have the horrid eye gouger. True story, the couch I'm replacing for 3x2 Studios Ohio at some point had a spring bust loose and gouged me right across the iris.
Yeah,
I had a scratch. They were actually using tweezers to peel skin off my eye. Think about that. So yeah, I hate that couch. That's some interesting news. But speaking of the news, let's do it. As we promised you a couple weeks ago, we were going to do Luck of the Draw news, but unfortunately, the death of Harold Ramis kind of derailed that. So, having talked about that, we're going to let you talk about Luck of the Draw, what's happened since we last talked about it.
Thanks. Luck of the Draw is actually in the post-production stage right now. The first cut of it has been pieced together, and it's sitting around about the nine-minute mark right now. Still have a few things to do with it, and audio processing, graphics, special effects, that sort of stuff. We're getting there, though, but, it's been an interesting learning experience, and I don't know how well it's going to turn out, but I can definitely say that
the announcer is the best part of the whole thing. Oh,
no, actually, I'm thinking of leaving that on the cutting room floor. Actually,
shocker. Just FYI, folks, that would be me because I am absolutely awesome, especially when I get into the announcer's voice, where I am over the top and on crack. Not really. Wow, crack. Crap.
Yeah. See, people, this is what I have to deal with when I use him as talent. Unfortunately, he has a better announcer's voice than I do, and I really couldn't afford to pay anybody to do it. So, yeah, I got what I paid for.
And that's the news. So today, we decided to talk about a little bit about comic books on TV. Especially since I'm in the middle of watching the most recent one, the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., although I missed last week, and ABC is being a complete dick by not letting me see the episode before the next episode airs. So I'm going to miss another episode, and eventually I'll end up stopping watching it and stop watching network television again as a result, because network television sucks balls.
Yeah. Yeah, actually it does. Oh, I think the only network television I watch at all will probably be The Big Bang Theory. And that's just pseudo geekiness. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it right now, but that's the only network television I really watch.
Well, you can catch that in reruns, so catch that off a network. So there you go. Don't have to watch network television anymore. Amen. But comic book TV shows have been part of our growing up because that's kind of what got us interested in comic book stuff and what eventually became some really cool stuff and led to why we were so drooling when the Avengers movie came out. And the Superman reboot and the Dark Knight trilogy and Batfleck. Okay, please kill me. Never mind.
Let's not talk about Batfleck, okay? Seriously. Please, please, I don't want to talk about...
I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, I mean, what we're doing is we're talking more about comic books that have gone into TV series, specifically, not just the shows that became, or sorry, the not just the comic books that became TV series, but also comic books that became animated series. So we're going to cover a little bit about action and animated series. We both have our top five, and we're going to basically go head-to-head on these and discuss the pros and cons of each one.
But first, let's get into a little history, talk about some of the things that we saw growing up. I mean, obviously, we first started off with some really basic stuff. First two things that really jumped to mind off the top of my head, Adam West as Batman and George Reeves as Superman.
Yeah, those, I mean, watching TV as a kid, those were the ones I remember. I mean, of course, they were after our time. I mean, Superman, George Reeves Superman was in the 50s.
Somewhere there.
And Adam West Batman was in the 60s, of course.
Yeah. Specific dates, 1952 to 58 for Superman, 66 to 68 for the cheesiest Batman ever made until Batman and Robin movie.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird.
Yeah. Although, let's be honest, those were basically, let's do a comic book, so let's make it for kids. Yeah, it was mostly crap. But what it gave us was the beginning. It gave us the idea that you could take these spandex-clad, drawn-up, crazy characters, throw them on TV, and make TV shows out of them.
I mean, that wasn't such a bad thing. The great thing about doing these things is as we discussed in pre-production for this episode, is the inspiration that we took from the characters, because of course we knew them as the comic book persons or characters, and then we saw them come to life as people like us, like real people. So the live action aspect of it was really cool, especially as kids. And now we have the animated series, and what was really good about, I mean, you have animated series of both like the 3D animated series and also the traditional 2D cell series, like as one we'll get to here shortly. But you know, one thing I really like is the fact that we were able to see these comic book characters literally come to life.
Yeah, and that's what was really great. Now, the 70s, as we were being born and growing up, that's when we started seeing attempt to come up with stuff that was just a little more, little less super cartoony and a little more comic series. I mean, you have probably the best of the 70s examples would be Incredible Hulk, Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno splitting roles as a dual person. You had Wonder Woman was in the list there. I think in the not quite comic book, but definitely in the comic inspired $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman, things like that.
Yeah, I know we weren't really going to touch too much about on the other quote unquote heroes. I mean, we had a great discussion about what kind of shows we were going to talk about and whether or not it would be strictly limited to comic books that became series or if there was all about superhero series.
Right. Our top five lists are specifically comic book based, but the history kind of lends to back and forthing it a little bit because there were some great things that came out of it. And then there was some crap, like I think that 70s Spider-Man live action thing was a disaster, but oh well.
It wasn't so bad. We'll talk more about it because I'm sure it's in one of our top fives.
Yeah. Considering Stan Lee was ripping it. Yeah. When Stan Lee rips his own creation, you know it's got to be bad.
I'm having a hard time arguing with that, too.
Nope. But you cannot argue with the man himself.
So let's get into our top five, shall we?
Oh, no. We still got plenty of history to talk about. I mean, the 80s, really, that's when we were growing up and we were watching the stuff from the 60s and 50s still. And some Wonder Woman because they're boobs.
So, yeah. We'll talk about again some more.
Really, that's when animated started to take off. Not the greatest, but that's when we started to see Spider-Man animation. It was an improvement over the 70s stuff, which all the way to 84, we had the abomination we called the Super Friends.
Oh,
you remember the Super Friends, don't you?
I fondly remember the Super Friends. That was actually pretty cool. I mean, I know it was cheesy and it was really just dumb stories and things like that, but I really enjoyed the whole sort of ensemble feel to it.
I tried to watch an episode of it with my children after having seen Justice League, which is basically the same cast of characters except it done right. It's god awful. That's all there is to it.
It was the 1980s. Seriously, it was the 1980s. What do you expect from this series? And you're 40 years old. Seriously, I mean, if you're trying to watch something from the 80s for the first time now.
Well, this is the 70s though we're talking.
It doesn't matter. Okay, so 70s. It doesn't matter whether or not it's good now or not. I mean, you had to really enjoy it back then in order to be able to really appreciate it now. Yeah. If you didn't enjoy it then, you can appreciate it now.
But I could watch the George Reeves and the Adam West stuff and appreciate it for what it was.
But you saw those as a child.
Super Friends, I can't do that with. That's dumb shit.
Because you didn't watch it as a kid.
Yes, I did. I did watch it as a kid.
Okay, well.
And no, it doesn't hold up. It's like the 67 Spider-Man. That one you could watch when you were a kid, and that was one of the few things that was on. It's like, okay, Spider-Man, going to suck ass again. It worked for what it was.
But yeah, I mean,
go back, it doesn't hold up.
You got to think. Look how they included the Spider-Man character in episodes of the Electric Company. You know,
and
the
whole thing. Please just kill me.
The Electric Company was, you know, I guess the flip side of
the Electric Company.
Of Sesame Street. So, of course, it was a bunch of things that were nothing to do with superheroes. So when you have Spider-Man show up out of nowhere and start interacting in these scenes with these characters, it's kind of cool. Now, I mean, would I watch it again? Would I actively watch it out again? No, of course not. I mean, no. But I always appreciate this.
I don't appreciate it as much because, really, the 80s, we started to see them make more attempts. Let's see here. That's when I think the Spider-Man animated series started getting better. The 90s, we started to see pretty much that's when special effects caught up to where they could take characters and they wouldn't look completely cheesy on screen. I mean, I think Flash made an appearance, more Superman episodes. Let's see here.
Yeah, you saw a lot of, not just animated, you saw a lot of the superheroes TV shows coming through there, you know, with the whole thing of the Adventures of Lois and Clark.
Yep.
The whole thing, and the Flash, of course. There were other hero TV shows in that early 90s slot, and I might mention one of my favorite ones when we finish through our top five. But
go ahead, mention this right now.
Well, that was the one of my favorites during the 90s was My Secret Identity, and it was one of the early shows with Jerry O'Connell. And of course, it was cheesy. It was on Sunday morning. It was on Sunday morning television. You know, you had all these, you know, all these shows that really were in Fox's early days. So, of course, now they're terrible. But back then, you know, we were younger. We were much more impressionable. I just enjoyed it, and I have fond memories of it.
But sometimes they do get it right with live action and animated. At some point, they get it right, and they get it to where the characters are believable and the stories are good. And everything's quality. I mean, that's the nice thing. As we get through the later 90s and into the 21st century, we get lots of characters. NBC had Heroes. That was not a comic book kind of comic book inspired, and they make it work. Slightly off to the margins, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, since she's basically a girl with superpowers. Well done with supernatural and demonic and all that cool shit. What else do I have on list? TV series that's going on right now that I'm watching on Netflix because I don't even know which channel it's on. Arrow. It's basically a reimagining of Green Arrow, except I think they only mentioned the name Green Arrow once in the series first season, and that's just an offhand throw. But it works beautifully. They take the concept and run with it and make a live-action series that works.
Well, I mean, that's good. You see, you can't rely too heavily on the superpower aspect too much, because if you have characters who have too much power over their opponents, there's no real challenge. So if they can turn and take these character
Superman?
Flaws.
Yeah. The original Superman, that was the weakness of the George Reeves Superman, is Superman pretty much, okay, I got to go do something, boom, done, the end.
Yeah.
Whereas to make it work with Lois Clark and Smallville, I'll throw that in there, you focus on the human character, not the superhero. Well,
right.
Human-ish, because we're talking, since Superman is an alien, technically.
Right. But what we are focusing on is the human flaws.
In Smallville, Clark going through puberty and all that shit, and in Lois and Clark, Clark having to deal with Lois and play the secret identity thing, which, complete side note, the one of the few things that the Man of Steel really got right was Lois wasn't an idiot about who Superman was. Give credit where credit's due. Says, I'm a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. I can figure out who Superman is. And she did.
Of course she did.
Before he was really known as Superman, even. That's all awesome.
And of course you have these, you tend to focus more on the making the story realistic. And I know we talked about this during pre-production. We talked about the series that was the X-Men animated series. And I know that you'll be covering it at some point, but again, you have really, really good stories.
Okay, I got to stop us for just a second. What is Horny Cat doing back there? Because yes, folks, if you have been listening, Horny Cat's been horny this entire episode.
Yeah, every show. Now, just so the people who are listening now understand, I have a calico Persian cat who needs to be fixed. And so instead of doing that right now, we tend to make better use of her special time and have a mascot for the show. So occasionally, every so many weeks, when she goes through her special time,
we're recording an episode.
Of course. I mean, it's without fail. So when you hear that howling in the background, make sure you welcome the 3x2 mascot, Horny Cat.
And yell, Horny Cat is horny! Okay, I think that's good enough for the history. So let's go to the top five.
Top five.
Okay, let's start off our top five. These are going to be our top five superhero shows. Now, obviously, our limitations are that it has to be a show that started as a comic. So that eliminates anything that that eliminates The Greatest American Hero. Oh, wait a minute. we left that out of the 80s, thankfully. Also, any comic book that's really not about superheroes, for example, The Walking Dead, started as a comic book, but that is automatically dropped out because that's really just people in a hell situation, which is awesome. But
absolutely.
So, let's start. Number five on my list is going to be a tie between the George Reeves Superman and Adam West Batman. Big reason this is on my list is not for quality. There's no quality here. It's cheesy and crappy, but this is what popped my comic book cherry. No question, there it is. Your number five.
My number five is based on Superman, Smallville. Now, I really enjoyed Smallville right from the beginning. I did get a little bit tired towards the end, and I was glad to see it go after 10 seasons. My goodness. So it was obviously taking another spin on the Superman character, seeing Clark Kent basically as a high school freshman working his way up through high school, finishing, getting through into college, becoming the man he would become as Superman. It was really good to focus on the flaws of the character instead of just him being the Mary Sue that, you know, Superman typically is.
Yeah. And out of curiosity, at what point did he take a giant leap over the shark?
Yeah, that was probably, I don't know, I would definitely say somewhere around season 5 or 6.
Okay, and that was 10 seasons. Okay, number 4 on my list is The Incredible Hulk, back from the 70s. Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno. Like I said earlier, this is the serious one. This was trying to really develop a character, letting Bill Bixby play Dr. Banner, and I'm not saying the first name because they changed it for the TV show, so screw you, whichever network's to blame for that, I forget. I don't care. All network programming sucks anyway. But here was something that really captured the imagination, even though the plots could be kind of recycled because it was always as Dr. Banner's trying to do something good, something bad happens to him, people beat his ass, and suddenly we get the close-ups, things ripping, and then suddenly we got a different guy, big and green, beating the living shit out of people.
Now, just so you know, that was actually originated on CBS, but was syndicated on NBC.
Okay, die in hell, CBS. And okay, NBC. Your number 4.
Number 4 for me was oddly enough, the one season long Flash TV series. I felt it was a good series, but you really couldn't go anywhere with it. The Flash is a great character, but I mean, to me, the Flash is kind of in the same class as Aquaman. There are very limited circumstances where the Flash's abilities could be universally applied. So I think that they really stretched with the stories, and unfortunately, it just didn't make it through another season. It didn't get picked up for a second season or more. So, but what I did see, really liked.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. That would be definitely in my honorable mention list because I remember that, but I couldn't remember too much about it because it only lasted a season, sadly. A little longer. Number 3 for me is, we are going animated now, the X-Men series from the early 90s, starting in 1992. Big thing about this one is that they had story arcs. They didn't do an episode, half-hour episode where they start and they finish. This would have, you would go a month and a half, you'd get 5-6 episodes to complete one story arc, which is still condensed as hell from a year-long story arc in a comic book, but still better than the end of the episode, they save the day. Or the end of the episode, we're in a cliffhanger. What are we going to do next week? Okay, whatever.
Right.
But it was serious storytelling, lots of characters, little bit of cheese because it was some of the early Marvel. It was a Marvel attempt, and Marvel, to be blunt, doesn't do as well on TV. In movies, they kick the living shit out of the DC universe. But
oh yeah, I mean, do we have to compare Iron Man to the Green Lantern? Seriously.
No, please no. Okay, your number 3.
Number 3 for me is, as we were your number 4, The Incredible Hulk TV series.
Anything to add to what I had to say?
I think you said enough for both of us, but I, you know, one thing I can say is that this was the first TV series of a quote-unquote comic book superhero as a child. The whole Adam West Batman came to me in repeats in the 1980s.
Yeah, whereas we both got to get Incredible Hulk roughly when it was coming out, because I don't think it got a lot of syndication, but it was good. Okay, number 2 on my list is a little bit extensive. Spider-Man, animated. Anything from the 80s on, with probably just only a few exceptions and glitches, almost every bit of Spider-Man I've seen since the 80s has a developing character, has all the elements that make Spider-Man good. And that's why it's absolutely number 2 on my list, because it just, I think I started with the early 80s stuff, and that was great. Notice I leave out the 67 ones, because those just don't hold up. Even the 80s stuff's a little hard, a little rough to watch, because the animation's kind of dorky. But you always had solid stories, and they've only gotten better over time. Even a more recent incarnation of Spectacular Spider-Man, where all the characters had these big doe eyes and like look cute, even that, with its dorky cuteness, still has good storylines. Just it's continuing what Spider-Man does best, which is connect with pretty much everybody. So yeah, that had to be on my list. Your number 2.
Night number two is the Adam West Batman series. Now, as cheap and campy as it is, I still it's the one I still associate with superheroes on TV. It was, even though it wasn't the first, it was still the best for me because I saw the most of it, and of course I was a little bit older, so I could appreciate it. And I think that's always had a place in my heart as one of the best comic book characters to come to live TV, despite the absolute abortion that was the Batman movie.
The Adam West Batman movie? That's hilarious. I mean, it's complete cheese and completely stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sat down.
I'm sorry. I
had my children watch it. They laughed. It was stupid.
I will never forgive them for the back shark spray.
Shark repellent bat spray.
That's the one, yeah.
Well, my daughter had it pegged as completely stupid when the bat ladder came down. With a sign at the bottom that says, bat ladder. But yeah, I mean, other than being completely stupid, it was a great series because it just captured the 60s comic books, which were cheese beyond cheese. On the other hand, we go to my number one, the biggest and best incarnation of any superhero on any TV from the 90s, Batman the Animated Series. This one kind of springboarded off of the Batman movie starring Michael Keaton because it uses the theme music and kind some of the themic elements to start off. It really was it was probably the most serious kids show ever created. It also spawned Superman, a separate Superman one. It spawned, I think Wonder Woman spawned out of that, and then Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. But it's carried on in multiple incarnations. Kevin Conroy voices Batman in that. Mark Hamill voices the Joker. And it just, these are characters. It was a show that was responsible for the creation of Harley Quinn, who didn't exist until Batman the Animated Series made her famous. And then she became a comic book character. And yeah, there's nothing bad I can say about this other than it ended.
Right. I didn't watch too much of it myself, just because I think it came at a time that was in my life that was pretty turbulent. So I never really got to appreciate it when it was first run. And I don't see much of it. I mean, I really haven't sought it out since then. But I'm sure that at some point I will definitely catch up and have my fill of the Batman Animated Series.
Let's see here. What was the years on that? 92 through 95. Yeah, turbulent doesn't even begin to describe it. Let's go to your number one before we get into that awkward conversation.
Yeah, let's talk about my number one, which this goes back to, again, when I was a kid. My favorite is Wonder Woman. That's right. Linda Carter is awesome boobage. That woman was business top to bottom. Now, did she play the character well? Yeah, sure. She's a good actress. But it was cheesy. It was another cheesy superhero series. And yeah, it didn't matter to me.
Yeah, it came out alongside such illustrious junk as the $6 Million Man. It was in the same vein.
And the Bionic Woman.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but it just cheese. You got a lot of cheese on there. Oh well. Oh. You started with the good stuff and then get to the cheesiest. Cheesy, but oh well.
Because the cheeses is the best.
Yeah. As long as it's not Fromunda cheese on Wonder Woman. Wow, I don't know that one. Oh, that was wrong, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So let's get off this topic before it gets too wrong, and let's talk. Let's have a little discussion. That discussion is going to be about the advantages of live action versus doing it animated. So let's start with you. You were the fan primarily of the live action.
Absolutely. Live action series are great because they not just fire in the imagination of the people watching it, but it's also you get to have some really cool effects. You get to see some real world special effects that make you think, well, wow, this can really happen. And so you can really develop an affection for a character because you're not relying on an animated cell or something that's not real, you know, quote unquote real, to really enjoy the story with. You have real life situations that you see these superheroes being thrown into.
Now, yeah, I'll give you a lot of those things. I mean, obviously, the shows that have been most successful live action are ones like, let's see here, Incredible Hulk, which depended mainly on the character development of Dr. Banner. You had things like Smallville, where it really deals with Clark Kent trying to figure out who he is. Even if we go into the non-live, on the edge of the comic book stuff, you go with something like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's all about the character development, not about all the special effects and fighting and stuff like that. And while special effects are getting better and better and allowing us to see a lot more of the stuff, you know, those live action really still relies heavily on the character. Yeah, and that makes it cost prohibitive to really go all out. An Avengers TV series, for example, no way. You just couldn't do something of that nature because you've got way too much of everything.
Yeah, the budget has to be a lot larger for live action series, so I will give it that.
That's the big thing about animation, and what made something like the Batman animated series go so well, as well as 5 gazillion versions of Spider-Man, is that you could create these universes, and the artwork would rely. You'd still get you still have voice actors behind that, and the voice actors really create the people. That's how you find out what the people are, even though you're looking at pictures and you're looking at animation and you're looking at – it may be a fairly simply drawn shape of a shadow in a bat shape and it looks ominous. And then you hear Kevin Conroy in this case saying, "Get out of my city," instead of, say, throat cancer and Batman. "Get out of my city." The characters really can emote a little bit more when you have voice actors, and they're really exaggerating every word versus somebody who's on a screen that has to actually act it, and they can't exaggerate.
Right. I still think that you can identify with the flesh and blood character better than you can the animated character, but I will concede the point that you do have a certain more creative freedom when you do the animated series.
So yeah, that's a question that we're going to leave you with, and hopefully we'll get some really good comments on this. What's better to see for episodic TV show? Which would you rather have? Do you want to see more animated series that are geared more adult-like, or do you want to see more of the live-action stuff? And by adult-like, I don't mean Batman After Dark.
That would be something on Cinemax.
Wow. Batman and Wonder Woman, I can see it going now. Well, wait a minute. The current comic book incarnation, I think Superman and Wonder Woman have hooked up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the kryptonite condom comes into action. But oh well.
No, we're not going down that road.
Yeah, I had to go down that road.
And that's all the time we have for this episode. This has been 3x2, version 2.0. I'm Laz D, the Pseudo Kiwi.
And I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
Be sure to check out our Twitter feed at 3x2 Studios, on our website at 3x2cast.com, and we still have that Facebook fan page, so go check it out. Why not? It'll do you good.
Except if it's Facebook, you'll probably get infected with something. Or the site will get hacked, or you get malware or something because it's Facebook. Yeah, we don't like Facebook, if you can't tell. So, we're out!
superhero. I wanna fly high.
This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License.